Those of you that have been out there, you know that, right? It's like we need to engage families where they're at and young people where they're at with a lot of fun and excitement. And it's like fast paced. I mean, that video sort of makes you feel like your hair's blowing. If you have hair still, it's blowing back. Brad, that's not poking fun at you at all. But you feel kind of like this intensity just watching that video. And that's what a week at camp is like. But God uses all that fun, all that intensity, you know, the great food, all the recreation, the waterfront, all of that. Like God uses all of that, just like theme park experience, as a way to draw people closer to Jesus. And some people are making new first time decisions to follow Christ at camp. Last summer, 91 that we know of, 91 first time decisions at camp happened. There was probably hundreds of maybe rededications or strengthening of our faith, because that happens, right? And we get the privilege of, we're just 3 weeks away from just an avalanche of ministry at Maranatha happening. And I want to say on behalf of the camp board, like we have a few board members that attend Cheyenne Berean. I want to say on behalf of our staff at Maranatha, just thank you. Like this church, probably unlike any other, gets behind Maranatha with, like Josh said, with their time, with their abilities, with their resources. And God has used this church over the decades to be a part of strengthening Maranatha so its reach can go further. So just thank you. Thank you so much on behalf of camp for the partnership with Maranatha. I want to show you just a few slides. One of my favorite quotes, this actually go back to this quote, Gia. This quote is from, you may recognize him. Maybe recognize Reverend Billy Graham? Anybody? Anybody? He made this quote because he himself spoke at camps and retreat centers around the world. He said, spiritual growth and refreshment occurs in the Christian camp and retreat setting like nowhere else. And those of you that raised your hand, like, yeah, I've been to Maranatha, like Josh, your pastor, he made a decisions to really surrender his life to Christ and to service for Christ at Maranatha. It happens like nowhere else. And we get the privilege of stewarding this place called Maranatha. And I want to show you guys just an update of some of the things tangibly that this church has helped with time, talent, and treasure. Let's go on to these slides. Some of you made it out to Maranatha this last winter, like November through March, and you helped us restore, actually, November through January. We had to do this in like 2 months because that's our only window of time that our campers weren't there, and get ready for this. But our memorial building, it's called Olson Memorial Building. That's just the founder of the camp in the 1930s. We revolutionized this space because it's the cafeteria. It's our gift shop, coffee shop, fireside room. And these pictures represent just a timeline, a snapshot of what happened. We tore up all the carpet. Those, all those fluorescent lights with like plastic, you know, features have been there for, I don't know, maybe 35, 40 years. And we tore those all down, tore out the carpet. And this next slide will show you, we were getting ready to put in basically like a laminate flooring. And we took down all those lights and we put up LED lights. So just that alone is saving us quite a bit on the electricity bill. But it doesn't feel quite so much like a bunker. It felt a little like, now I'm 6'6", so that short ceiling always made me feel like I was in a bunker a little bit. But the place is revolutionized. Now that's the coffee shop. You saw a picture before. Like what just happened to the gift shop and the coffee shop? Let's keep scrolling through. Who in the world are those guys? They're always around Maranatha. These guys, Brad and Nolan, you know, they've been so faithful over the years, like with Tim and Ernie and others coming out and bringing work groups to Maranatha. I think twice, right, Brad, November and then in January, you guys brought a team and helped us with this massive endeavor. Some of you remember the fireside. Like this is a pretty neat area of camp where during retreats in the winter, the non-summer months, it's really a special place. You remember somebody that we had accordion folding walls that have been there probably since the 70s, starting to fall apart. We updated that whole area. This is that coffee shop. That picture that you saw with the wood shingles and that sort of thing before. This is sort of the modernized coffee shop taking some of that stone. This is Nathan McDowell. We didn't know he was such a handyman. Did you, Tim, know that he was such a handyman? Nathan's been a part of our internship program. We have 4, 5, or 6 interns that stay with us for a year and help us in a variety of ways. And Nathan's been a part of this program. He's electricity work? I don't know what he's doing there. We can keep going. This is some of that Cheyenne crew. Man, those of you that laid flooring, can you imagine in, I don't know how big this space is, 3,000 square feet, laying this flooring took a long time. Who's that?
Chase.
He's our AV tech guy, doing a great job out of Merritt. He also is a part of that internship program. He was really excited to have digital monitors. We don't have to like write everything on chalkboards in the coffee shop anymore. Those of you that have seen like our buffet lines, those were getting pretty raggedy, right? Those are probably 30, 40 years old. And a part of this renovation was to put in stainless steel food lines. So it looks really sharp. Like that doesn't have the sneeze guards and stuff on it. This was a couple months ago, but that looks really sharp. This is that fireside room. So people are like, wow, this kind of looks more like a retreat center, like a resort a little bit, you know? And as a camp, we're 80 years old or more, we have to constantly be upgrading, remodeling, and keeping up with the times. What used to be okay 30 or 40 years ago is not okay for adults nowadays. So we got to be keeping up just the look and appearance of Maranatha. Here's the gift shop. Some of you are like, what? Is that a different place? It is a different place. We raised the ceiling like 2 feet, mainly my request because I was almost scraping the ceiling in there. It's a gorgeous new look, new flooring. The Maranatha apparel, it just looks sharp. And you know what? As we're representing Christ, like I love what you did with the facility in here. Like it looks sharp, looks professional, looks well done as we honor Christ. And that was one of the desires. So here's that picture. I mean, it looks totally different when you see people that have come in and they remember the old place and they see this place, all to the glory of God. But this was about a $70,000 remodel. And Cheyenne bringing help with resources, with people to come, along with many other churches and friends, to make this possible. Because at the end of the day, this next slide, this is why we do it. Right? Like this is our winter retreat and we weren't even all done. We had some pieces still like, you know, when you're remodeling and you're getting ready for that big deal and you don't quite finish it all. But we had 220 high school kids coming to winter retreat the first weekend in February. So ready or not, like we're hosting this big old winter retreat. And this is why we do camp. And this is our largest winter retreat in probably 20 years. And God just continues to renew camp, both facility-wise, but also just with people. And this summer is going to be an awesome chance to use this place and fit 300 or 400 people in there every single week. What else do we got here, Gia? Some of you came out and you were a part of renovating our 1950s sweet shop. This used to be the chapel. This used to be like one of the cafeterias before they built the dining hall. And now it's our sweet shop, a totally new look and improved. That clock up there, that clock was one of the original things, like almost like Back to the Future, you know, that clock? That's not the same clock, but that's kind of an icon of Maranatha. But the sweet shop is the hub of camp, if you've been out there, just a really fun place. On the other side of the sweet shop, some of you remember the old rickety stage. It was like on a trailer, like a semi-trailer, and you never knew if you were going to fall through a hole or fall off the back. And it had been serving a purpose for 25 years or so. But one of the retiree gals passed away this last year at Maranatha, and she and her family wanted to donate the resources to build a new stage at Maranatha. So this summer, some of you will be at family camp. Who does not love like the karaoke night, the talent show night, concerts and that sort of thing? So this will be a outdoor lighting, outdoor sound, and just provide a really neat commons area in the middle of camp. So some of you helped with this project when you came out this last school year. Now coming up, this is a retaining wall. Coming up next weekend, Tim and a few others, I've met a few of you this morning that are going to come out. You're going to be helping with this project with even a few other volunteers from some other churches. And we're going to put a retaining wall in. This isn't our beach. I just stole this off the internet. But it's going to look similar to that. That's going to give us a bit more of a clean line between the grass and some of the stickers there and the beach. And just, again, improve like the quality of the look of this area. And so we're excited to have some of you join us. If you have a day or two this weekend, you don't even know your schedule, bring the family. There's stuff for your kids and your spouse to do while you're helping out on this retaining wall. But we hope to get this done this weekend as another neat addition to that waterfront area that will probably have a good 4,000 to 5,000 kids just in the month of June and July on our waterfront. So we're excited about updating that area. Moving on, you know, Maranatha is about stories of faith, but it's also about steps of faith, just like this church. And one of the big steps of faith that we're taking is Maranatha, for its entire existence, has primarily been a youth camp. Like a lot of camps, right? Even in Wyoming and Colorado, camps are primarily, they were started in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s to reach youth. But what I'm finding, and I've been a pastor for about 15 years before coming to Maranatha, that if you don't also reach the home, the youth often don't have too much to go back to sometimes. Maybe a good youth group, but we're also passionate about reaching the whole family and every domain of our community, every sector of our community. That would be one of my visions as the executive director of Maranatha, that yes, we're about reaching the young people, but we're also going to try to reach the home in the process. You can keep going, sorry. One of the things that I've observed is Midwestern, just talking to one of our board members, Brian Rogers, who works a lot with families. This is true. Like, families and people in our communities are in crisis. Would anybody agree with that? Do we see any of that around Cheyenne? And we see that all over the five-state region that our camp serves, as families are in need. And we want to provide that same sort of experience that young people get when they come to camp for families. They get an unbelievable getaway, an unbelievable vacation, but Christ is in the middle of it all. And they run into Christ as a family, and they're never the same after that. So our vision would be to help families. So we're responding to this need to reach families and expanding our reach. Next slide. This just kind of goes to show you what's happened over the last 3 years since we've been at Maranatha with the help of a church like Cheyenne Berean when it comes to reaching families. So family camp, the attendance has grown fivefold. That kind of sound, what, fivefold? But just for example, a few years back, we had about 25 to 30 people on average at family camp. And Cheyenne Brian's been a part of helping where our attendance now at family camp is in the 200s for family camp. We're selling out of family camp. This year, we have 3 family camps. Next year, we have 5 family camps on the schedule. Marriage conferences have tripled in the last 3 years. Leadership and church conferences have grown by 25%. Increased opportunities to serve families with special needs. But here's a problem. We're running out of room. And so remember what I said, as we think about growing the camp to meet the needs of our culture, a third of our families and of our adults are staying in North Platte. They're staying off campus because we're out of room at camp. That's an awesome problem to have. I pray I'm going to come back someday in the future and you're having a room problem, probably like you had on Easter, right? All the Easter and Christmas folks that show up, you probably had a room problem on Easter. Wouldn't that be great if every week there's a room problem here at this church? Well, we're having that at Maranatha. We're out of room. Our number one request from adult visitors is improved and expanded overnight lodging and meeting space. The number one sort of feedback we get from our families and adults. So we're asking the question, like, Brian Rogers is on our board, Richard Crocker's on our board, like, so what do we do? Like, it costs money to grow. It costs energy to grow. Is now the time to grow? Well, God would be showing us, we think, that it is. So here's what we're after. More stories of faith often require more steps of faith. Right? In your own life, wouldn't you say that's true? Like, you get to some point and then God says, no, you're relying on yourself too much. I need you to take a bigger step of faith. So for us as leadership at camp and our partners like Cheyenne and others, we're saying, Lord, we really believe now's the time for our next big step of faith. So you'll see some information out on this table. And this isn't some sort of appeal. I'm not asking for money today or anything like that. Just I'm cluing you into what's happening at Maranatha over the next couple of years. We're going to have a campaign called Room to Reach. That idea of creating more room to reach more families for Christ, okay? And it's a lodge or a retreat center of sorts at Maranatha, okay? That's our next big step of faith. But I brought a couple of pictures. This picture is out there just to give you an idea. Now, if I had a little pointer, I'd show you on the far left, that's the existing dining hall and our conference center, okay? We can fit 700 people in there. And in the summer, it's the camp's heavily, heavily used, more on that side of the camp. Now, right now, if you've been to Renatha, there's mobile homes right there, right, alongside the lake. My grandparents live in one of those mobile homes. And for 20 years, the leadership of the camp has thought, you know what? Some sort of hotel-style facility to serve the needs of families is probably in our future. But when? But when? But when? But when? 25 years later, since that initial conversation, the camp board and the leadership feel like it's time to go with something along the lines of this that would allow us to serve adults and families. So we wouldn't put the middle schoolers here. Sorry, middle schoolers, if you're in this room. You're not going to be staying in here. We have plenty of great dorms and spaces. But the idea would be that year-round, and I even think in the summer months, that's when families can travel. That's when families can get out, that we would love to see this thing packed. There's probably 27 rooms. And if the Lord really grew this thing, we'd keep adding maybe another wing to this thing. But all the rooms won't be looking at the interstate, because the interstate runs behind that. We're right off of Interstate 80. All these rooms will have a lakeside view. Just three quick points, and I'll finish my presentation here. This facility would allow us to offer the full 24-hour experience for more families, right? Because a third of our families they're leaving camp to go stay in town. And you miss out on that full retreat experience. This will increase the opportunity for programs to function earlier in the spring and later in the fall. Okay, because the fall and the spring, churches are doing retreats, ladies' retreats, men's retreats, couples' retreats, even business, ministries, corporate retreats, those sort of things with a Christ focus. It would allow us to function more during the non-summer month. And just greater stability. And this facility would allow us to enhance sustainability and just increasing the likelihood that camp is present for the generations to come. I think every ministry, every business, right, is having to think like, we want to be around for the next generation and the next generation. And God has faithfully kept the doors of Maranatha open for 82 years. And this building isn't going to be the key, right? We realize that God's the key. But we need to be thinking about how is our facility, our property, keeping up with the opportunity to serve more people, okay? So I just wanted to show you what's happening at Maranatha. Just the next idea, just seriously, thank you for being a part of the legacy at Maranatha. Now, you can learn more about this, maranathacamp.org. You can click on the giving section. There's a whole bigger, expanded presentation on this, okay? So I want you guys to just know that you're in on the inside loop. Like, this is the first church since we've shared it with our constituents. This is the first church that I've been at to talk about this next big step of faith. So this might be, you know, Brad, Tim, others. This is a serious work group, right? No, we're not going to ask you to come build the whole thing. But we're excited about rallying thousands of people that love Maranatha to come out and help us see this thing become a reality. We'll probably more intentionally start raising the funds. We might finance some of it if that is a need. But it'd be my dream and prayer, if you could pray with me, that within 3 years, Lord willing, we could see this reality at Maranatha to reach more people for Christ, okay? Let me pray, and then we'll transition to some time in the Word, okay? Heavenly Father, this church loves Maranatha. There's probably some new people here that are like, Maranatha, what? What does that word even mean? Well, it just simply means that Jesus is coming back. Like, God is coming back again. Maranatha. And so, Lord, there's people here that they've been invested longer maybe than I've been alive. I don't know. And this church cares so deeply about ministry here in Cheyenne and in the Midwest and around the world. And Maranatha is just a part of the ministry that's on their plate. So thank you for how this church is so closely aligned with the heart of Maranatha. Lord, I just pray as we look into the Word a little bit this morning, you lift us up, that we'll be encouraged by what you're speaking to us, because your Word is alive. And God, this faith thing is not just for Sundays, for an hour. It keeps us going day by day. So God, as we look at your Word this morning, give us that nourishment. Feed us from your Word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you could turn back on the lights so I can see my Bible up here, and you can see yours, that'd be awesome. I'm going to be just sharing a few verses out of John 17. So if you have your Bible here or your Bible here, maybe you got John 17 memorized, I don't know. We'll be looking at just a few verses in the book of John, chapter 17. Starting in verse 20, just give you a second there to turn. John 17, verses 20 through 23. So we're going to be looking at the ingredients for this word called unity. The ingredients that Jesus himself talked about to achieve unity as the church. Okay? So here it is, John 17, verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 22. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and you've loved them even as you have loved me. So this is Jesus talking, right? I got the red letter Bible. I love it because like, any red? Those are Jesus' words. And I want to briefly talk about something that's been on my heart for a long time, really. But I think it relates so well to a church in a community like Cheyenne, and you're wanting to be a beacon of light for this community. But how does Jesus say we need to act? What does Jesus say is the key to being a successful light to the community? So Jesus, in John 17, he prays for his 12 disciples, like the apostles, but then he prays for all of us 2,000 years later. He says, I want to pray for all of those who are going to come to know me because of the disciples' message. And I'm so thankful that those disciples, a couple thousand years ago, were unified, although probably very scared, right? Because they've been with Jesus for 3 years, and Jesus was kind of their protector, and Jesus was like superhuman. He wasn't human, right? And then Jesus leaves, and the disciples are like, he just told us to not just reach our own little neighborhood, but the ends of the earth. But Jesus prays something very specific because he knows if they don't get this, and without me, and yes, I'm sending the Spirit, but if they don't get this, the mission's not going to happen. And what Jesus was praying back then and for the church today, for all those who would believe, is the power of one. The power of oneness, the power of unity. Guys, I've over the years, and Brad and several other people have been with me, I've led probably 30 mission trips around the world. And the one thing I tell the team when we're just getting ready to start is, guys, I need you to be unified. Because if we show up in this other country and we're trying to serve with these missionaries and we're trying to represent Jesus, but we as a short-term team are disunified, how do you think that's going to go? And I've been on plenty of teams where, you know, just that this, you get to rubbing and kind of arguing and you've been sleep deprived and you smell and you can't shower. And there's a lot of things that can create disunity. But so can in a church, right? There's a lot of things we need to get distracted by, and that's not happening. They didn't, and they hurt me, and they said that, and I don't like the carpet, and whatever it might be. There's different things that keep us disunified. And Jesus says, if they're going to accomplish the mission, I'm praying they're unified. There's five things, and it's an acronym, and I've talked to a few of you about this because I was around some of you this weekend. I want you just to write down. It's an acronym for the word unity, U-N-I-T-Y. Stick this in your phone, your notes, but just be thinking about this. Like this is Jesus' ingredients to being unified. And we at Maranatha, if we're not following these ingredients, we will not accomplish the mission. This church will not accomplish the mission without following these ingredients. The first letter in the word unity is, you're like, how do you spell unity? It's you. Okay, U, I'm going to say, is about uplifting. Uplifting. I love being around a team that is uplifting each other. Like my cousin is a swimmer. Even though swimming is an individual sport, the swim team, like no other setting, honestly, that I've seen, the whole team gets around the pool. Like literally they're leaning over into the lane of the pool. You can do it. You can do it. Go, go. We're behind you. They're just uplifting their teammates in the sport of swimming, unlike almost any other sport I've seen. That's a picture of the church. Like, if we want to have unity, we need to be uplifting each other, not pointing out what we're doing wrong to one another. Now, that doesn't mean you don't, in love, confront each other. But we need to be more about uplifting each other, encouraging each other. Let's go, let's go. We're doing this together. Oh, let me help you up. We're uplifting each other. Jesus says a key will be to uplift one another. And Jesus spent his ministry lifting up his 12 disciples, didn't he? He was always helping them picking them up as they fell down. They got the message. They had an uplifting master to follow. We do as well in Jesus, even though he's not walking with us physically on earth. He models the spirit. You read through scripture, there's so much upliftingness to it. But we need to model that as a church. Uplift one another. Okay, second letter is N, and it stands for meeting the needs. Meeting the needs. So uplift and needs would be the next one. Brandon just got up here a few minutes ago and said, guys, we've got some needs as a church. We need some tech help. We need some children's ministry help. We need some, if you want to be unified as a church, like reaching this community for Christ, be a church when the community looks in, like, good grief, they're always meeting the needs of one another. I want to be a part of that church. Maybe some of you joined this church just in the last few months or year because it seems like this church loves to meet the needs of one another. Jesus, as he walked with his disciples and he's praying for his disciples, he's asking the disciples to continue the ministry of meeting the needs of the brothers and sisters in Christ so that the world might know Jesus. He says it three times in just those few verses so that they'll believe the message. Not just because we're preaching the message, because we're showing the message and how we meet each other's needs. You guys are meeting the needs at Maranatha, even though we're in another state. You're bringing people to Nebraska, of all places. Can the Lord be at work in Nebraska, some of you might wonder. Yes, he is. And you're helping us meet the needs. And so we're unified as an 80-year-old camping ministry because so many people want to help meet the needs of that ministry, locally, regionally, and globally. That's what this church is about. I love it. But what are you doing? In any church, it seems like the minority are carrying the majority of the work. That's pretty common. But don't let that just be, well, that's kind of our story too at Cheyenne. Why don't you reverse that? Where the majority is meeting the majority of the needs, and there's always going to be some folks that are not quite sure if they want to jump in yet. And I would just say, ask the question in your own heart, am I meeting the needs as a part of this church? Because, boy, we're not going to have that so the world might know that Jesus says impact unless we're all striving to meet needs of others. The I in unity, integrity. Jesus says here, this is pretty amazing. He says, I have given them the glory that you've given me. So in us, if you're a follower of Christ, you've got this glory of God living in you that's not of your own works, right? Like the gospel isn't about try harder, be better, be nicer, just, you know, do good. And that's going to produce glory. No. We have the glory of God in us because of what Christ already did for us on the cross. We just celebrated that a few weekends ago. So we have like the glory of God, the glory of Christ in us. Jesus says, I've given them the glory that you've given me so that we can live holy lives. Some of you are thinking though, because you've believed the lie for a long time in your life, I can never be holy. I'm not holy. I blew it this last week. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is, on your greatest days, I get a little choked up on this because I kind of believed a lie for a long time that I had to be good for God to accept me. It was about my performance. And if I wasn't like perfect integrity, God really was disappointed in me. But guys, we have integrity as Christians because on our best days or on our worst days, we're loved by Jesus. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? So we can have integrity because of Jesus. And the world will look at us and they'll say, I want to be a part of that. I want to belong to that group. I want to make a difference with that group. Because they live holy lives, not because of they're just good religious people. It's because actually they've realized their need for Jesus. And they're people of integrity. And they're unified because of that. That's an unstoppable force. That's an unstoppable force for Jesus to believe the gospel. The next letter, trust. Unity. U-N-I-T. Trust. Guys, Jesus knew that he was going to have to trust, right? I'm a business owner. I have to like let go and trust my employees at camp that while I'm in Cheyenne, the camp's not going to fall apart this weekend. I have to trust them. How many of you feel you just haven't, you don't have to raise your hand, but just a question. How many of you feel like it's hard to trust in the church? Of all the places where it should not be so difficult to trust should be Jesus's people. But unfortunately, some of you here this morning, you're hardened because you've been hurt by people in the church. You don't trust easily anymore. Well, let me tell you, Jesus knew if his disciples didn't trust each other, they would not accomplish the mission of taking the good news to the ends of the earth. So some of you have to say, God, I need help letting go of my fear, of my insecurity, of my doubt in the fellow person, the believer. And I have to, Lord, supernaturally create trust in me. Because if I can't trust, we will not have unity as God's people. And some of the onlookers, those that have been hurt and offended, like my graphic designer that helped design our logo for camp, she's an atheist. Because she feels like she was hurt and wounded by the church around the North Platte area. I don't even know where she went. But she says, I'm an atheist. And now she's not all belligerent with me. I'm just saying, she's like, I don't trust the church at all. Well, I'm hoping. You can be praying with me if you think of this. That her name is Sage. Have you ever met a Sage before? I've never met a Sage before. She's telling me, Chris, there's something different about working with Maranatha. There's something different. And so I'm hoping that Sage will trust me, will trust Maranatha, that she'll bring her husband and her little toddler to Maranatha this summer, and something will happen in her life. That's the mission we're on. Guys, there's so many wounded, hurt people. Some of you are right in this room. But you want to be on mission in unity? Be a trusting group. Forgive each other. 77 times 7 or whatever it was that Jesus said. Keep forgiving each other. And watch the mission happen. The last thing, yielding in the why. It's the why. U-N-I-T-Y. Yielding. There's two areas of our life we have to yield to Jesus. One is just surrender your own heart to Jesus. And some of you are like, I don't know. We have I call it a functional godlessness in our society. Like, it's kind of working without Jesus. It's kind of working, right? With, you know, neighbors, coworkers, friends, peers, school, you know, schoolmates, whatever. You know people, right, that they're functioning without Christ. They're kind of functioning, but they're not thriving. They're not thriving. And if they see a community of people that are surrendered to Jesus, we've yielded to Jesus, and they see us thriving, not just functioning, we will be accomplishing the mission of God. But the second area is we yield to one another. It's that trust thing. And again, but I was hurt, but I doubt people, but I don't want it, but my dad calls it the yeah but disease. If you know George, it's just kind of funny to hear him preach that, the yeah but disease. He said but when I was little, that's what I thought. But it's the yeah but disease. I'll surrender to Christ, but to other people, they're messy. People are messy. There's a reason why Easter Sunday, you are packed out. Because a lot of people think, well, I better go to church on Easter Sunday or Christmas. But they're not yielded to the Lord, right? There's all these gaps in these chairs as I look out because there's a lot of people that were here Easter Sunday. But yielding to Jesus and yielding to other people, no thank you. I'm functioning okay. And you know plenty of people like that, don't you? Two areas, yielding to Christ, yielding to one another. When you're doing that, you're going to be on mission. You're going to be unified. So guys, unity, I guess the message here is when Jesus prayed for it, It's not up to you to just be better at it. Just will yourself to be unified. All right, I'm going to grip my teeth and we're going to be a unified church. No, no, that's not the idea. It's about the power of God and Jesus. When Jesus said, God, just like you and me are one, I want our church to be like that. And that's going to take a supernatural act. But Jesus already did it. He's already given us the opportunity to surrender and yield to him and make it happen. And it's going to be messy. There'll be two steps forward and maybe two steps back. But Jesus has given us the call. He's given us the ingredients. At the end of the day, he says three times that the world may know. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, these aren't my words. These are words of yourself. When you were on earth. So we better listen up. And if there's some hard-heartedness, if there's some doubting in this room, Holy Spirit, would you convict that? Maybe as they're laying in bed staring at the ceiling, Lord, would you turn some hearts? Would you bend some hearts toward yourself? Because we heard from Scripture today. We didn't just hear a motivational message. We heard from Scripture today. Jesus, you so desperately want the world to know, including us in this room today, the power of the gospel and to live it out in unity so it'll be multiplied over and over in our community around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you actually bring up the slide with the scripture? And actually ask that all of us stand together and want to read something together as a group. And specifically, it's in verse 21. It says, so that the world may believe you have sent me. I want us to repeat that together this morning. Are you ready? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. One more time. We just had a practice on this. Do you believe these words? That's something that we were challenged with this morning. Unity. Unity of coming together for something bigger than ourselves so that the world may know that you have sent me. That's something that's happening at camp and that we're going to be praying for camp to happen. Let's say it together. One more time together. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Let's pray together for camp and also for us as a church. Father, thank you so much for Chris coming in. Thank you so much that we can be a group of people united together to be about a common purpose so that the world may know that you've sent me. We want the world to know the wonder of what Jesus has done on the cross, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again from the grave, that we could have life. God, not just for the future, but here and now. God, I pray for camp. Pray that as people are coming in, there's going to be all sorts of things that are going to cause them to not be unified. God, I pray that you would just protect the hearts and minds of the young people and the staff, that you would help them to work together so that the world may know you, Jesus. And then even for us here as a church, thank you for Chris challenging us with that. Would you help us to be about and get over our petty differences that can sometimes arise and cause us to be disunified and divided, that we would be about a common purpose so that the world may know you, Jesus. Thank you so much. We look forward to just continuing to worship you this morning. In your name, amen.